I'd like to call the July 10th meeting of Ways and Means to order. All motions are to adopt unless otherwise stated. No votes must be verbalized. Can I have approval of the July 12th regular meeting minutes?
Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Resolution 320. Can I have a motion to adopt as to amend as presented?
I'd like to make a motion to amend as presented.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Have a motion to adopt as amended.
Motion to adopt as amended.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 321. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to get clarity on the locations of these. Are they all on county property for county vehicles only?
All of the sites are county property. They're the DPW Quarry, Joy's Lane, the Law Enforcement Center, Trudy Resnick Farber, 368 Broadway. However, at this time, we're thinking that certain sites would be for fleet vehicle charging, while others would be for county vehicle and public charging off hours.
My concern, Executive Deputy County Executive LaValle, is that these are all centered in Kingston, and I know they're on county property, and we do lack a lot of county property, as far as I know, in the southern and western part of the county, but it definitely doesn't seem a lot of diversity in locations here.
Respond to that. There is one site, Trudy Resnick Harbor, but it is in the southwest portion of the county. Because these are supporting also primarily our fleet deployment, that's why we have selected these locations here. I do want to offer that we anticipate offering another round of the EV infrastructure grants, similar to the grant round last summer, that would be open to municipalities who might be looking to expand EV charging networks in their towns, and we're happy to work with any municipality that might be interested in that.
There is a highway substation in the town of Plattekill. I know it's not ideal for public use. So I don't even think a lot of it's blacktop. Would that be an ideal location or possible in the future?
We could certainly look at it. We haven't to date looked at substations, but they absolutely need to be looked at for both county infrastructure and potentially public charging. So I'll certainly have DPW look at that.
And if you could look, yeah, obviously look at any other locations in the southern part of the county, it'd be much appreciated.
Yep. Will do.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 322 is a bond. Can I have a motion? Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 323, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 324, can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 325, can I have a motion? Second? Discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the rationale behind this resolution. I read it over a few times. The resolution says that the county executive has requested time to work through operational challenges that have arisen since this policy's inception. Can someone tell me what those operational challenges are?
Absolutely. So as we've been working through this, we've been working with the comptroller's office as well. Part of the requirement is that the departments, we need to reach out to all of the vendors to get the proper information. That does become challenging. The departments are trying to reach out to get the information. The information is not updated into like a centralized database system as timely as we would need it to be. It has to be a one-off reach out to the departments. I don't know if Comptroller Gallagher wants to provide a little bit more to is what we're working through.
This resolution has created a lot of work for my team because every contract that comes from a nonprofit vendor right now is coming with absolutely no certification as to whether or not they meet the requirements of Resolution 2478. And we are, for today, just for example, I kicked back two Family of Woodstock contracts. They might be very important contracts, but they are not meeting the requirements because they are not up to date on their financial reporting. and I do not have latest 990s or audits from that organization, so I'm kicking it back to the department and saying, this is your relationship. I don't have a vendor relationship with that entity to ask those questions. So the other problem that we see is that not all nonprofits have the same year, the same fiscal year. So the fiscal year drives when their tax filing is due. You know, your tax, your 990 is due 5.5 months after your fiscal year end, which is not everybody is on the same schedule. So it's creating a lot of, you know, work to figure out what their fiscal year end is. I think if this was moved up earlier in the process, that it flow more easily. However, we have contracts that have been in process for months and months and months that were already through the department before we realized that this wasn't being done. So it's just taking a lot of catch up to get there. And the vendors are definitely not ready. I mean, I'm not sure what you want to do. The largest social services vendor to the county is not compliant. What are we going to do about that?
I'm just concerned that this policy has been in effect for more than a year, almost 16 months, and now we're just learning that there's operational challenges to this policy right now.
If I could speak to that, to say it's really actually only took effect for contracts entered into after 1/1/25, and we weren't aware that the certifications weren't happening until we began our audit of community action and asked them for their paperwork. Up to that point, we thought that it was just the natural flow that, you know, we were receiving contracts for approval that had been approved, you know, that were up to date on these filings. So I think until the community action audit, it wasn't really brought to the attention of everyone that this was a problem.
So it was community action that brought this on them.
That was the triggering review that helped our office identify that there wasn't something happening on the executive side to ensure that these were compliant.
Yeah, and so the departmental reviews, as they're going through the process, reaching out through, you know, the online sources to see the information that's available, as the controller has said, it's difficult to determine what year, based on each nonprofit's fiscal year, is the most up-to-date resource. So as we tried to move forward with implementation, we were using available resources online. Those available resources are not updated as timely as needed. In addition, nonprofits can get an extension. We're not going to know that extension ability without reaching out individually to each nonprofit as we go through the process. That's where the hurdles are really coming from.
So, Mr. Chairman, as you know, a couple months ago, we did not approve a waiver for community action. So if we pass this resolution and change the policy, what effect would that have on Ulster County community action?
It would allow them to continue.
So they would get the grant or the
– until the end of the year.
May I continue?
Yeah.
I'm concerned how this looks to the taxpayers when we pass strong-sounding accountability measures only to suspend them or waive them when politically sensitive nonprofits or get caught up in the rules. I think it sends a message that by weakening these policies now, we're telling the public that compliance is optional. And that's concerning to me. If we should have known earlier that there were operational challenges for implementing this resolution.
I would not consider a minority of legislators voting to prevent community action to continue operating to be sending a strong message. A majority of legislators that night voted to continue to fund emergency meals, or not meals, but emergency food. So I just wanted to clarify that point.
Discussion? And I'll just say, it wasn't a sensitivity to this one organization. I think, as the controller pointed out, this is what triggered it. It was this, if anybody had got caught up into this, it would have triggered this moratorium to the end of the year to work out the operational issues. I recognize that maybe we should have known sooner, but we knew when we knew, unfortunately, and that's sort of the background on us. So, all right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, thank you. 326, can I have a motion? Second.
Right.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 329, can I have a motion? Second.
Right.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 330 is the bond. Can I have a motion? Second. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 331. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask about, and I'm not, I don't know if this is one that I'll talk about. These are all.
Can you use your mic, Ken?
I'm sorry. These are all capital projects for the campus. 329, for instance, says that this is reimbursable, 50% reimbursable by the state dormitory. When do we get reimbursed that $25,000 or any money that's coming in for one of these bonds?
Yeah, so we submit our payments as the college goes forward with the process. We authorize what's called a band, short-term kind of note. We would then go out to the bond as the project's completed and the invoices start coming in. We receive that information from the college. We front the full percent, the 100% in the first instance, and then we see the reimbursement back from SUNY as it goes through that process for the construction.
State reimburses us at a later date after the work is completed?
What? Or it typically goes as the work's completed. We do, they do try to submit as much as quickly as possible, put it that way.
What line item would that show up as a revenue?
You would see the revenue coming in from the state aid. I don't know if Roseanne or Max want to go into more detail.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it does. It gets recorded as state aid under.
Would it be lumped in as a whole or part of the, would it be specific $25,000 for 329?
It's probably specific.
Project specific.
Thank you.
All right. 331, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 332 is the bond. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 333, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 334 is the bond. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 335. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 336 is the bond. Motion. Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 337. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 338. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Yes. On 338? I'm sorry. 338. Who knows? Three knows. Okay. Thank you. 339. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carry. 340. Can I have a motion? 339. Three no's. Okay.
And this came up in laws and rules. Can we hear why?
Thank you. I will. I'm voting no on 339, which would amend our accessory dwelling unit tax exemption law in a way that I believe is short-sighted, overreaching, and ultimately harmful to both property owners and our larger shared goal of increasing housing supply in Ulster County. I voted for the original tax exemption earlier this year, and that law sat on the law and rules agenda for many months. It was only after we passed it and created a meaningful incentive to encourage homeowners to build new housing units that this sudden push now emerged to walk it back, to add new carve-outs and restrictions that undercut the very purpose of this exemption. Let's be clear about what this amendment actually does. It disqualifies any ADU from receiving the county's property tax exemption if it is ever used as a short-term rental. Worse yet, if at any point in the future the unit is determined to be a short-term rental, the exemption is yanked away. That means homeowners who have made investments under the promise of a tax break could see it vanish overnight because they rented for a short term to make ends meet. That's a pretty raw deal. It's not how you build trust with our constituents. This approach also rests on a flawed premise that short-term rentals are the primary villain responsible for our housing crisis. I reject that narrative. The situation is far more nuanced. Many families in Ulster County rely on short-term rentals to afford their mortgages. Senior citizens might build an ADU to downsize and rent their main house short-term. Working families sometimes need seasonal rental income just to pay rising costs. By cutting them off of this tax exemption or threatening to retroactively revoke it, we're sending them a message. You can help us solve the housing crisis, but only on rigid county terms, and if your life circumstances change, you'll pay the price. Importantly, this law also interferes with local control over zoning and land use, which has traditionally been the responsibility of our towns and villages. Each municipality in Ulster County already has their own rules on short-term rentals, many with strict registration requirements, caps, or outright bans. By layering on this county-level financial penalty tied to local zoning definitions, we're essentially stepping on a local government's authority to regulate land use in their own backyards. It blurs the lines of home rule and inserts the county into micromanaging how homeowners use their properties, far beyond the scope of a simple tax exemption. This is going to discourage people from building ADUs in the first place. We cannot simultaneously tout ADUs as a solution to expand our long-term housing stock and then penalize flexibility in how those units are used. It sends a chilling message to landowners. If you take advantage of this program, you're signing up for permanent restrictions and the risk of sudden tax hikes down the road. Finally, there is a matter of fairness. This law takes a blunt instrument to a complex issue. It treats a homeowner who rents out an ADU for a couple weekends a year exactly the same as a commercial operator running multiple Airbnbs. That's not balanced policy. It's overreach. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I had a feeling there was a piece of paper ready to be read. In regard to the support for tax breaks for short-term rentals, I do not support tax breaks for short-term rentals. I thought it was kind of I thought that we all were on the same page about that, but I can see that we will have a debate about whether short-term rentals should get tax breaks. I am curious to hear, we have one council here. I am curious to hear their opinion on whether county property tax infringes on home rule, specifically if county property tax infringes on home rule. I'm curious about that. I've never heard that before. I think evidence of that not infringing on home rule is the fact that local municipalities have the opportunity to pass a similar law. So if those laws are passed in parallel, obviously they don't infringe on each other. They're passed in parallel. So I'd be curious to hear what is wrong about what I just said. And I am looking forward to a debate about whether we should give tax breaks to short-term rentals. Thank you.
Yeah, I share those concerns and would highlight that my housing goal is to provide, one of my top housing goals is to provide stable long-term housing. It's not the only goal, but it is the hardest goal to achieve. And so the exemption from a tax here, which is what we're talking about, is in my mind, rightly applied to those who are going to provide that stable long-term housing. And it doesn't take anything away from anybody if they pay the normal amount of taxes on a short-term rental. If they're making more money doing it that way and they don't qualify for this, they still are getting the income from the property. And I completely agree about the zoning and land use issue. I mean, this is a county tax, and so providing an exemption for it is county prerogative and doesn't affect the zoning in any way that I can see.
I should call back. I don't know how we solve long-term housing by taxing short-term housing. I think that doesn't seem to. I mean, it seems like. How do I say it? I said that backwards. How do we prevent taxing short-term housing? How does that stop us from, how does that prevent long-term housing from being built? This is definitely a way to get more to long-term housing. The other part that I just want to mention is the county tax is not particularly onerous. And anyone who doesn't build an ADU because of county tax hasn't looked at how low the county tax actually is.
Can we hear from council on And I would, can I just add to my question as to whether it is providing the exemption that infringes on home rule or not providing the exemption that infringes on home rule?
I think that my point was this is infringing on, we're starting to dictate to the towns and villages what they can and cannot do. That was my point. There's no legal issue here. It's a policy issue.
Thank you for clarifying that there is no legal issue here.
All right. Once again, all those in favor?
Aye.
And all opposed? Let's go back and hands up. You need to verbalize it.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution 340, can I have a motion? A second? Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 341 is the bond. Can I have a motion? Second? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 343, can I have a motion? Second? Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 344, can I have a motion?
Question.
No. 344. Motion. Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 345. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 346. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 347. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 348. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 349. Can I have a motion?
Aye.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 350. Can I have a motion? Second. 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 Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 351. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 352. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 355. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Motion to block 356, 357, and 358. These are ours. Second.
I withdraw the motion.
Okay.
I'll make the block.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So we're not blocking. All right. Resolution 356. Can I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Discussion?
Thank you.
Aye. Strong support. Deputy Sheriff's taken over the SRO duties at M. Clifford Miller Middle School. It's in the town of Ulster. Town of Ulster Police Department used to be the SRO for Miller, but being that there are students who attend Miller from Woodstock, Town of Kingston, City of Kingston, Esopus, I think it's better that Deputy Sheriff would handle this. And I also strongly support the SRO program. It's not just about students' protection, although obviously that is number one, but it's about the teachers, the principals, the staff members. They all deserve to have a police officer at their school. My wife works in a public school. She has very fond, she has good interactions with the school resource officer at her school, and very good program. Thank you.
Any discussion?
I'm going to vote against this one. I'll vote for the other one, so I'll probably vote for it on the floor, but I so rarely get the opportunity to vote against one of these for my own district. So I wanted to take that opportunity because I think it's important to put my money where my mouth is and not just vote no as a protest when it's other people's district.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Not opposed. 357, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Gary, 358, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. 359. Can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carry. 360. Can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carry. 361. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 362. Can I have a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 363. Can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 364. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 365. Can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 366. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 367. Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 368. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Fourth time the measures are listed. Comptroller Gallagher. Thank you.
Sorry, I don't have enough of it. More dollars to find out.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. We actually, last minute, just noticed there was an additional sales tax payment on the state's website today. So I included that data to give you a little bit more assurance. But year to date, we have received $76,004,580, which is a very, very slight 0.18% decline from where we were last year. This is great news because this tells us that we are doing better than we were back in February. And we have made 43.3% of the budget. Right now, it seems like if things continue as we see right now, we will make budget. And this is a big number, $175 million. So I wanted to share that with you. The article published in the Daily Freeman on June 2nd had incorrect information with regard to cannabis revenues. There was an unposted transaction, a large one, that was not included in the data that had been shared with the press. However, it still remains a huge problem for the finance team to handle cannabis revenues and their distribution as a result of bad communication or no communication from the Office of Cannabis Management. So I just want to bring that to your attention. Every opportunity you have as you speak to a state representative, please complain about this issue. This is a big problem. We are seeing leadership change at Office of Cannabis Management, but I'm not sure it's going to translate into the nuts and bolts that we need right now. So, just a summary there. We've received $190,000 on May 22nd. We received a $12.46 payment. If we were to divide that payment up to make distribution, we would literally be spending more money to send out checks than we are actually sending in value to the municipalities. And right now, we don't know the funds that we've received. We just cannot tell who it's supposed to go to. So, reported occupancy tax as of July 9th is 50% of budgeted revenues for the year. So that area is doing well. Also, the new short-term rental registry requirements that became effective in April of 2025 also require short-term rental platforms to remit occupancy tax directly to us and sales tax to the state. It is hard to discern whether or not we are receiving additional payments from platforms. Unfortunately, the payments that have come in are all labeled Avalara for Airbnb. I've brought this to the attention of finance, and they're going to be working to correct it. Avalara was a pass-through tax payment platform that Airbnb used. Many other platforms use it, too. So we're going to have to be more careful in how we record those revenues going forward. To be careful, we identify, you know, payments from other vendors. Interest earnings for the year so far, $4.1 million, or 53% of budgeted revenues. $603,418 was received from CDs. That was a choice that the finance commissioner made that I think is returning for the taxpayers. Our budgeted interest income this year is higher and by 15.3% from last year. So we do believe we're on track to make this revenue. bank reconciliations going very well. We have received bank reconciliations through May of 2025, so there is no lag there. I'm bringing this up, and I probably will drop it from my report, but I used to come to you guys crying every month about it, and I just want you to know they're doing a good job and they're getting it done on time. So, you know, we have to report things that are good as well. I'm going to just give an overview of our audits, reports, and initiatives. We continue to review quality of services provided by contracts with nonprofit agencies, and we're working on a report right now on 35 specific contracts. While some of our recommendations from last year's report were incorporated into training for department heads, we will have recommendations that we will be bringing to this body in hopes of a resolution that will require certain mandated reporting in these contracts. For example, unique individuals is a number that is very important to be able to assess how, you know, quantity of the services being delivered, and we do not see that routinely in every contract. So we're going to be coming out with some recommendations, and we hope to bring those to you shortly. I also wanted to mention that through this work of the quality analyst, we've really been diving more deeply into the DSS contracts. Right now, DSS claims are paid through the welfare management system, do not come to the comptroller's office for approval. Now, I read the charter and it says, comptroller shall approve all claims for payment. It doesn't say, but DSS. It does not make an exception. So what we are doing is we've been requesting DSS to provide us access in-house. We go over to their agency for invoices for certain contracts. And we're going to continue doing that. We'll probably be doing that on a monthly or bi-monthly basis where we look at specific invoices for invoices paid through WMS and start sampling those. But I want you to know that we're taking a deeper look. DSS has been absolutely great on this point. And I also want to note that when we did review contract invoices that were WMS approved that never came to us, I was very, very pleased to see notes from DSS staff asking very hard questions and kicking back invoices that they did not feel were appropriate. So there is a strong review happening at DSS, and I am very pleased to report back to you that I am seeing things like DSS staff saying, for example, why are we funding 5 computers for this program when it only funds 4 staff? So there is review happening. I just would like to have better detail on that. And if there are particular contracts that legislators are concerned about, I'd like to know what those are so we could incorporate those into our review. We've concluded our audit of community action. We have an exit conference scheduled with them next week. To our knowledge, they have not yet filed tax returns or completed their audits for 23 or 24 or their federal single audit for 22. Their regular audit for 22 is done, but not their federal single audit. They have federal funds that are being withheld because of their delays that have nothing to do with us. Our audit of occupancy tax is completed. We had an exit conference with the Department of Finance. All properties that were audited have received audit resolution letters, except for one property. We are awaiting a bill from finance that we're going to include in that communication to taxpayer. I look forward to you guys being able to read the report, and I think finance is already aware of many of the issues that we identified there. So we look forward to working with them on that. We've begun an audit of the license agreement between Ulster County and the Ulster County Agricultural Society for the use of the Ulster County Fairgrounds. We have a draft report on delinquent real property tax auction that we plan to publish soon. It's in final review right now, and we are working on a report that examines the impact of short-term rentals on housing availability. I hope that will be, you know, coming due sort of the end of the summer. Other issues I want you to know, while finance is doing a great job on getting bank recs done, they are lagging on some things, and there are unposted transactions from 2024. I'm just going to say that again. There are unposted transactions from 2024. My feeling is the books on 24 are not closed. This makes it very hard for us to fulfill our quarterly obligation to report to the legislature and executive on the quarterly financial status of the county. Q4 2024 is not done. I'm horrified that I cannot provide you that documentation. Hence, we're providing these more timely monthly reports. And then lastly, I just have to bring to your attention that the iPark properties are behind in general and school taxes, totaling $1.4 million taxes, interest, and penalties. I actually went back and added that to this report. It originally wasn't here, but I realized I'd communicated to others, and you know, I think this committee should be made aware. I'm happy to answer any questions. And Legislator Collins, I realize this report doesn't give you a total of cannabis revenues received, so I will get that to you separately.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Do we, I'm assuming that we don't know by town cannabis revenue because OCM. I'm going to ask a different question, but do we know the revenue by municipality for STR with tax revenue, occupancy revenue?
Definitely not, and I don't think we ever will.
Any other questions for controller? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Capital project updates.
As of the beginning of July, there was about $1.7 million in capital expenditures in May and $1.5 million in capital expenditures in June. On a typical year, excluding last year, we have spent roughly $20 to $25 million on capital expenses. Midway through this year, we are already at $15 million, so it looks at this time to appear to be another heavy capital spending year this year.
Questions? Okay, thank you. Any old business? Motion to adjourn? Second?
Sir?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I missed a
little old business. Can I bring something up?
Sure.
Thank you. I've seen on a county government Facebook page many a post regarding the cooling center in Kingston and Allenville. I'd like to segue that into the resolution that we passed last winter about a warming center in the southern part of the county. I'd like to ask the executive staff if there's any progress or movement on a warming center for the southern part of the county.
Outside of Allenville is the question.
Right. Yeah, we all agree that Allenville wasn't in the southern part of the county, so yes, it would be outside of Allenville.
I appreciate that. Sorry, there's a lot of regional disagreement as to what is the sections. We're looking if you have anyone who has interested charities who are interested in partnering with us, I would greatly encourage passing them along. Identifying locations is the chief challenge outside of something.
The Modena Methodist Church has a property in Plattekill. They just shut down their operations and they are selling the facility. It is three buildings. You know, I know it's an old church and a sanctuary and a house, but you know, there might be an opportunity there.
I appreciate that. We'll reach out.
Thank you.
Just so I understand, so there is one in Allenville and we're not considering that Southern Ulster?
I think during the debate last year, we concluded that was the western part of the county.
So what are the parts of the county now? What are the parts of the county?
North, south, east, west.
Okay, there's four parts of the county?
I don't know, but us in the southern part of the county do not consider Allenville a reachable destination.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. Motion to adjourn. Discussion. All in favor? Thank you all.